Today is the 24th Sunday after Pentecost, and it is the Mass today of the 5th Sunday after the Epiphany. The epistle for the 5th Sunday after the Epiphany is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Colossians, chapter 3. Brethren, put ye on as the elect of God, holy and beloved, the bowels of mercy, benignity, humility, modesty, patience, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If any have a complaint against another, even as the Lord hath forgiven you, so you also. But above all these things have charity, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of Christ rejoice in your hearts, wherein also you are called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you abundantly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another, in psalms, hymns, spiritual canticles, singing in grace in your hearts to God. All whatsoever you do in word or in work, all things do ye in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God and the Father through Jesus Christ our Lord. And the Holy Gospel is taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 13. At that time, Jesus spoke this parable to the multitudes. The kingdom of heaven is likened to a man that sowed good seed in his field. But while men were asleep, his enemy came and oversowed cockle among the wheat and went his way. And when the blade was sprung up and had brought forth fruit, then appeared also the cockle. And the servants of the good man of the house coming said to him, Sir, didst thou not sow good seed in thy field? Whence then hath it cockle? And he said to them, An enemy hath done this. And the servant said to him, Wilt thou that we go and gather it up? And he said, No, lest perhaps gathering up the cockle, you root up the wheat also together with it. Suffer both to grow until the harvest. And in the time of the harvest I will say to the reapers, Gather up first the cockle, and bind it into bundles to burn. But the wheat gather ye into my barn. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. Days the most valiant man, Judas, making a gathering, sent 12,000 drachmas of silver to Jerusalem for sacrifice, to be offered for the sins of the dead. These words are taken from the Old Testament book of the Maccabees, chapter 12. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. In West Virginia, in the Shenandoah Valley, there is a Catholic story that took place years ago that I would like to tell you this morning or this afternoon because I think it brings home in a real manner to us the importance of the month of November. The month of November, in regards to the Catholic Church, is the time to pray for all the souls detained in purgatory. And it began in 1794 when a stranger knocked on the farmhouse door of a certain Mr. Adam Livingston. Mr. Livingston was a Lutheran. He was a farmer, and this random person simply asked Mr. Livingston for a night to stay at his place. And so late that night, the man had become sick, no doubt due to the travels of the times, late 1700s in this country. And the man fell sick, and he asked Adam if he could get a Catholic priest for him. And Livingston, who was deeply prejudiced as a Lutheran against he called papists. He declined the request. He said no. And the man actually ended up succumbing to a sickness that night, and he died. He died without seeing a priest. He died without receiving the last rites of the church. And he also died and was buried in unconsecrated ground. And the Livingston family, from that moment on, was tormented night and day by horrifying sounds in the house. The frequent flinging of rocks that would be seen out of nowhere to just rise up off the ground and hurl themselves with no person nearby. Dishes would fall off the counter, no one around, nowhere near the end of the countertop, and it would just fall out of nowhere and break. Furniture would break. There were beds regularly caught on fire in the middle of the night for no reason. Another interesting aspect of it was invisible hands would regularly clip crescent-shaped holes into the clothing of the house members. The saddles in the stables would have these clips done on them. Their shoes, random. They were small and regular clippings, and they looked as if they were done by a machine. That's how perfect these cutouts were. Very, very, very bizarre, the whole thing. Now, Father Demetrius Augustine Gallitzin, who was one of the first priests over here with Bishop Carroll, Bishop John Carroll, in the beginning of our country at that time, very, very smart priest, smart theologian. He was called the Apostle to the Alleghenies. He traveled everywhere by horseback, bringing the Mass and sacraments all over. He was actually teaching and had trained at St. Mary's Seminary in Baltimore. Well, he was personally asked by the bishop, Bishop Carroll, to go check into this. Father Gallitzin, at the time, was serving as a missionary priest in Loretto, Pennsylvania. And so he got on his horse, and having heard of this, he began his way to Middleway to investigate. And in a letter he wrote years later, Father Gallitzin noted, "I could not prevail upon myself to believe the stories, but I was soon converted to a full belief in them." No lawyer in a court of justice did ever examine or cross-examine witnesses more strictly than I did. He said, the good old man, Livingston, reading in his Bible, remember he was a Lutheran, this man, Livingston, that he said that Christ had given to his ministers power over evil spirits. With tears in his eyes, related to his minister the history of his distress, losses, and sufferings, and begged him, that is his parson, to come to his house and to exercise in his favor the power that he had received from Jesus Christ. The parson candidly confessed that he did not have that power. At least he was honest. Many of them today are not. The good old man insisted that he must have that power because he found it reading the Bible. You have the power. I read it. It's in the Bible. The parson replied that that power existed only in the old times. It's a thing of the past. It's over. You have to catch up with the times. Remember, this is about 1800, let's say, off by 6 years. But isn't it funny how life and times repeat themselves? People say the same things today. It's 2023. It's a thing of the past. It's been that way every century, people say that. But the truth remains. So undeterred, Livingston searched for someone who did have this power. And after many ministers failed to answer or respond or help him, he actually turned to conjurers and to those who profess to have power over the evil spirits. All failed. He fell into despair. He determined that Christ had no longer any true ministers on earth. If they're not in the Lutheran church and they're nowhere else, then God has given up on us. Especially those who pretended to be and were imposters. Now, a couple weeks later after this, Livingston had a dream, and in the dream he found himself climbing up on his hands and knees up a steep mountain. He got to the top of the mountain, and it was a massive church. And on the front steps of the church was this minister in robes he had never seen before. He was very confused. And a voice spoke to him in the dream that said, "This is the man who will help you." Well, the next day after he woke up, he was talking to his neighbor, who was Italian, and he told his friend about the dream, of course. And he was completely confused on the robes. Well, this Italian farmer said, "That's a priest. Only priests wear those." So he decided to go see a priest. He went to see Father Cahill. And when Father Cahill came out to begin Mass, Livingston broke down in tears, because when he saw the priest, he recognized that that was the exact person that he had seen in his dream the night before. And so he went up to Father Cahill and asked him if he would be able to come over to the house to do something about this, whatever it was that was attacking his home. Father Cahill thought he was an excitable person, emotional, subject to his passions, worked up, as we sometimes become. And so he said, "Don't worry about it, it's nothing." Well, that didn't change the matter of the fact. And so after further persistence on behalf of Livingston, Father Cahill finally decided to go check it out. So he saddled up and he went over to his house. And his intentions were just to sprinkle holy water around the house, thinking that that would remove whatever diabolical influence was having its course on the house. And that did nothing. And so, but interestingly, when he was leaving, a purse was seen to, out of thin air, lower itself down onto the porch from which Father Cahill had exited the home. About 12 to 15 people, locals, were there for this, because they were there to see a priest. And they testified to this strange incident. That purse belonged to one of the women of the house, which had gone missing a week earlier. For a time, the haunting ceased, but within about a week, things turned worse. They actually turned into vengeance. And Livingston, of course, begged Father Cahill to return. Father Cahill heard about this. He wrote to Father Gallison and told him. So these priests, decided to go to the house and offer the holy sacrifice of the Mass in the house, which they did. And immediately, all stopped. There were no more hauntings. All destruction ceased. In fact, the intention of that Mass that they offered was for the soul of the man who had asked for a priest and had died that night without a priest. But it wasn't the end of the story. All attested to the fact that while the tormented haunting had ceased, it was replaced by the voice. A beautiful voice that spoke to the family and certain neighbors for over 17 years. The voice, often accompanied by blinding heavenly lights, instructed the Livingstons, remember, who had been Lutherans and revoked anything to do with Lutheranism and anything else for that matter, because they couldn't do anything against the spirits. This voice instructed the living sins in the Catholic faith. It would wake them up three times a night and teach them how to pray the rosary specifically for the poor souls in purgatory. There were, besides the audible manifestations, there were also physical manifestations as well. For instance, there was one of the daughters, she was in a grumpy mood this one day, and she was standing near the bathroom, and there was a towel hanging off the edge of the bar, and she had been thinking in her mind, why did she have to pray for the poor souls in purgatory? What's the big deal? What do they have to do with me? Why waste my time? Besides, it must not be that bad in purgatory anyways. As she was having those thoughts on that white towel, she saw the imprint of a hand burn itself into the towel. Between all five fingers, she saw the white threads of the towel remain, but the rest of the four fingers and the thumb were burnt in an outline on that towel. And she also heard a voice at the same time tell her that this is how the souls in purgatory suffer. Needless to say, her grumpy mood changed very quickly. Another point that Livingston, again, a farmer, he's out plowing his field, he was given the grace by God to hear the wailing of the poor souls in purgatory, screams that filled the marrow of his bones with dread. The suffering of the souls longing for heaven. Not long after that, Livingston moved his family to Loretto, and he became specifically Father Gallitzin's parishioners. And he donated the Meadoway farm to the Catholic Church. And the voice interestingly foretold that before the end of time, that would be a great place for prayer and fasting. For almost two centuries, it remained an uncultivated land, and it was known as the priest's field until the diocese built a retreat center over that very spot. And the saintly priest, Father Galitza, went on to wear himself out for his people. He created a very thriving Catholic community all throughout Western Pennsylvania. And he died in the year 1840. He was buried in Loretto, Pennsylvania, where a basilica now stands over his grave. Oftentimes, through the centuries, God allows these apparitions and visits from the poor souls in purgatory to different people who, to one degree or another, have a lack of faith in the truths of our holy religion, such as the existence of purgatory. Secondly, the need of the souls who are burning there for us to help them get out. And it is an amazing story to consider, especially now as we are into this month of the poor souls of November, to take the time to think about it, especially today, to try to renew your dedication to helping them. Every single one of us, every single person who knows the truth, hopes, prays, and strives day by day to live so that when we do die, when God calls us to our eternal existence, that we do not go to purgatory, that we go straight through the gates of heaven. It is our hope, because as we know from the teachings of the church, the fathers of the church, the fires of hell differ in no way from purgatory. The only difference is time in purgatory is going to end. The time in hell will continue forever and ever. But the actual pain is the same. As I said, no human wants to go there. And again, this is not a selfish reason for us to pray for the poor souls in purgatory. It's very helpful to think of them. That if we get one soul out of purgatory and get that soul to heaven, or a dozen, or as many as we do, whatever the number is, and we are responsible for that soul leaving purgatory and entering heaven, that soul is going to pray for you until you get to heaven. And if you do go to purgatory before going to heaven, that soul in heaven will pray for you while you're in purgatory to get out of purgatory. So it is interest. It's spiritual interest for us. And it's not a selfish reason. The Holy Catholic Church teaches this. So use the remaining days of the month of November to seriously consider your own family ancestry and those who are perhaps relying on you right now for their exit from this tomb of absolute pain that we have no idea. We have no concept of the pain that the souls in purgatory are going through. If we could think of the worst case scenario that we've endured ourselves in pain, or think of if we haven't endured pain other than a headache or a toothache, well, think of some things that you've seen on the news that are absolutely tragic. Take them all and put them together, and they are a drop in the bucket in comparison to what the souls of purgatory suffer. Hopefully, that will move us to sincerely pray for as many souls as possible to be released from the fires of purgatory. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.